الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class we were reading the narration of Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه. Whenever he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم he said ما كانت الآخرة همه جعل الله غناه في قلبه وجمع له شمله وأتت الدنيا وهي راغمة. That whoever makes the hereafter his main concern, Allah will place his wealth in his heart, and he will set his affairs in order for him, and the worldly life will come to him submissively. And we have seen a number of benefits with regards to this portion of the narration. And then after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, وَمَنْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا هَمَّهُ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ وفرق عليه شمله ولم يأته من الدنيا إلا ما قدر له. And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whoever makes the worldly life his main concern, Allah will put his poverty right before his eyes and set his affairs in disarray, and the worldly life will not come to him except what has been decreed for him. So the main concern of a true believer is that he will reach the pleasure of Allah, is that he will seek the pleasure of Allah and hope for the good home in the hereafter. And he will work for the life that is eternal and never ending. And that is the life after death. And this life is a means to prepare for that. And all of this life is created for us to benefit from and to use to fulfill our purpose and our goal, and that is to seek the pleasure of Allah by worshiping Him alone and submitting to Him in obedience with love and humbleness and sincere faith, hope and trust and reliance and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who fulfills that purpose and he strives in that manner, then Allah azza wa jalla will grant him contentment in his heart and peace and ease in his chest, and likewise make him from those who are selected and chosen, those whom Allah He helps and aids and facilitates their affairs for them, and gather the affairs of their life together for them, and make everything fall to their advantage, and help them to be thankful in times of prosperity, and aid them upon patience in times of adversity, and always seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His reward, and striving to be obedient and fearing His punishment subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the worldly life will come to them submissively, and they will not have to make great effort for that. All of this is the reward of a sincere and pure intention, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But on the contrary, if a person is overwhelmed by this life and he is overcome by his desires and he falls into the whispers and the tricks and the traps and follows the footsteps of the devil, and he is affected by his suggestions and whispers and inclined to follow his desires, he shows preference to his love for his soul or for the delight of this life over his love of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he obeys his soul in disobedience to his Lord, then at this time he has been a true failure, waliyadhu billah. And this is the case here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَمَنْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا هَمَّهُ, that whoever has made the hereafter his main concern, meaning this is what he works for, this is what he lives for, this is what makes him happy and what makes him sad, whenever the worldly life comes to him, that which he desires from the good of this life, he's happy, and whenever it does not come to him or he does not obtain what he desires and hopes for from this worldly life, then he will be upset and he will be sad, and he will not be satisfied. So this person here, he has traded that which is everlasting and that which never ends of joy and pleasure and happiness and goodness for that which is short-lived, for a pleasure that is sweet and short-lived and followed up by great bitterness, by happiness that is short-lived and followed up by great distress and worry and grief and torment. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا هَمَّهُ, whoever made the worldly life his main concern, meaning that he will strive to establish his worldly life and he will forget his soul and working for the hereafter. And his aim will not be to please Allah. Rather, his aim will be to follow his desires. So therefore, he will violate the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. He will violate the prohibitions blatantly, all in a chase for pleasure, seeking to please his own soul. At this time, the commandments and the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal becomes light in his heart, and he has no reverence and no honor and no respect for the commandments and the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he will fall short in the obligations, performing them properly. And he'll not have concern about that, not about performing them or performing them properly or correctly. If he does perform them, he'll perform them heedlessly, or he'll perform them negligently, because he's preoccupied with chasing after that which he truly loves, and that is his desire and his self and the worldly life. And likewise, he will violate the prohibitions. He will violate the prohibitions, and he will perpetrate them, especially whenever there's an opportunity for his desire to be fulfilled, or for his pleasures to be established. And he will violate the prohibitions, and he will violate those commandments in this manner like this, because there's nothing carrying him to stop that. Rather, this is what he lusts for, and this is what he hopes for, and this is what he works for. So therefore, the deen, it has no place, truly, in his heart. It has no high status, it has no high level, it has no high rank, he has no reverence for the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is because in reality he has no reverence and respect for his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا هَمَّهُ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. The recompense for this, وَالْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. That whoever he made the worldly life his main concern, then Allah will place poverty between his eyes, and he right in front of him. Right in front of him, this is what he will see. This is what he will see, meaning he will never be satisfied. He will never be content, and he will never be happy, and he will never be satisfied. Even if he has lots of wealth, he will want more. He will desire more, and he will not be happy with that, nor content with that, and will not please him nor satisfy him. And likewise, from the meaning of this, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. This is in contrast to that which has preceded. And the one who made the hereafter his main concern, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. Allah will place his wealth, his richness in his heart, meaning that he will be content and satisfied with Allah Azza wa Jal as his Lord. And the decrees of Allah Azza wa Jal, he will accept them wholeheartedly and surrender and submit to them, the universal decrees and likewise the legislative decrees. And he will suffice in this manner and be pleased to be a slave to Allah alone. And he will have trust and faith and reliance upon Allah alone, and he will not rely on the people. And this is how he becomes rich, and this is how he becomes strong, and this is how he becomes steadfast and upright, and this is how he reaches a high and lofty status. On the other hand, man kanat ad-dunya hammahu ja'ala Allahu faqrahu bayna aynayhi. Opposite of that, the one whom the worldly life is his main concern, then Allah will place poverty right in front of his face, in between his eyes, meaning he will never be satisfied, he will never be content. Even if he obtains something from the worldly life, he will not please him truly and make him happy. He will either be trying to have more, or will be a means for his stress and for worry. And likewise as well, he will have his faith or his reliance on his worldly life will be upon the people. It will be upon the people. He will be in need of the people, and he will feel a need for the people. So he will truly be poor. He will truly be impoverished, because we have seen likewise in the previous class that al-ghina ghina al-qalb wal-faqr faqru al-qalb, that the true wealth and richness is in the heart, and the true poverty and poorness is in the heart. So the one who does not have tawheed, and he does not fulfill the rights of a tawheed, and his main goal and intention is not to seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, to rely and to trust on Allah alone, then now he'll be trapped with the opposite, and he will be attached to the creation, and he will be relying on the creation, and he will be seeking his provision through the creation and through the people, and he will be at the disposal of the people, and they will belittle him, and he will not ever have his full needs met. His full needs met, because he can never be satisfied. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ شَمْلَهُ. And Allah Azza wa Jal will set his affairs in disarray. And he will work and he will work, but he will feel like he's never getting anything accomplished. As they mentioned, and he will be spinning his wheels, he will leave his home and go about his business and make all of this effort. In the end, he would have little or no benefit. He would have little or no benefit. And his affairs would be in disarray and in disorder. And he cannot benefit from his time. He cannot benefit from his wealth. If Allah blesses someone with wealth, for example, but they do not show thanks for that, then Allah will strip the blessing of that wealth. Then the money will come and it will go like nothing, and he will not see the true benefit of that or realize the blessing of that. It will be lost, or it will be neglected, or it will be wasted, and it will come and it will go like it's nothing. On the other hand, if somebody has the blessing of wealth, even if it's not as much as another individual, but he shows thanks for that, and he shows and he realizes the favor of Allah upon him in that, then Allah will put blessing in his wealth, and his wealth will be a means of goodness for him. So this person who makes the worldly life his main concern, this is what will happen to him. He will never be satisfied, and he will be at the disposal of the people, and his trust and his reliance and the way that he's looking for his livelihood will be from the people. So he will be lowly in this manner, and likewise his affairs will be in disarray. وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا قُدِّرَ لَهُ إِلَّا مَا قُدِّرَ لَهُ. And nothing will come to him from the worldly life except for that which is decreed for him. Any meaning that he will tire himself out, and he will wear himself out, and he will work hard to have more, because he's not satisfied, and he's not happy, and he's not content. If he gets a dollar, he wants two. If he gets 100, he wants two. 200. He will not stop. He will not be happy. He will not be satisfied. He will not be content. So he'll continue to work hard, and he will tire himself out in the path of seeking this livelihood, and waste much of his time in striving in this manner, even many times violating the limits that are set in this path. So this is something that's very dangerous. And this is likewise from the attributes of the hypocrites. The hypocrites, they only see this worldly life, and they look into that which is tangible, and that which is in front of them, and they're attached to the physical life. As for the hereafter, they have forgotten about that. They have neglected that. And they're not looking at the reality of the affairs, that Allah, He is the creator, provider, and sustainer, and everything happens at His command and decree, and according to His wisdom and knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people, they have been overcome by this worldly life. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He has warned us to not be like them. To not be like the hypocrites, and likewise to not be amazed by the hypocrites and their wealth. Maybe some of them, they will have lots of wealth, but that wealth will be a means of their misery. And maybe they appear to be happy, or they seem happy, but if you know what's in their heart and in their mind, from distress and from problems and from issues and from worry and from grief and from trials that they're going through in their life, then a person, he will realize the low state that they are in, and that he is truly considered faqir. Faqir, because he is broke and he has missed out on the most beautiful and delightful part of this life, and that is to know the Creator, that is to know Allah Azza wa Jal by His beautiful names and His lofty attributes of perfection, and to know Him by surrendering and submitting to Him in obedience, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the best of this life, and the one who has this, then he's truly rich, and this is ghina al-nafs wa ghina al-qalb بالتوحيد التوحيد الخالص التوحيد الخالص نعم. By establishing the shahada and by following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam diligently, in this manner a person, he can become wealthy. In this manner a person, he can have prosperity. In this manner a person, he will have blessing in his life, and wherever he goes and whatever he's faced with, it will be good for him. عجباً لأمر المؤمن إن أمره كله كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. How amazing is the affair of the believer. Everything in his life is good for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّا شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّا صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. That if some good befalls him, then he will be thankful. Meaning he will use that goodness in the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and the limits that are allowed for him, and it will be good for him. And if some hardship or difficulty befalls him, he'll be patient, meaning he'll realize that it's the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he will surrender and submit to that, and he will beg Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive him and to help him, and he will take the lawful means to lighten or remove the hardship. So he'll be patient in this, and this will be a means of goodness for him. So whatever he faces in this life, the one who faces that with sincere faith and tawheed and belief in Allah Azza wa Jalla in the last day, and his intention is good, then regardless of what he's facing, it will be good for him. But as for the one who's lost, who's lost, and the affairs become backwards for him, and his life and his understanding is restricted to that which is tangible and that which is physical, and all he can see is this worldly life, and he forgets about his own soul. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, meaning the means of savior for his own soul, the means of the sanctity of his own soul by sincere faith and complying to the legislation and the law of Allah Azza wa Jal, then he will be lost. Then he will be lost. Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentions about the hypocrites in his book, warning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise a warning for the ummah. فَلَا تُعْجِبَكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أُولَادُهُمْ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَتَزْهَقَ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. Do not, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أُولَادُهُمْ. Do not let their wealth and their children deceive you. Do not let that amaze you. Do not let their wealth and their children amaze you. And do not be deceived by this affair. Do not be deceived by this affair. This is in reference to the hypocrites. This is in reference to the hypocrites. Do not let their wealth or their children or the authority or status that they have in this land, do not let that amaze you. Do not be deceived by this affair. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla, after this, he mentions something that it requires for a believer to truly ponder over. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, and to fear Allah Azza wa Jalla with regards to إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah, He only wants to punish them by way of that in this worldly life. So therefore, these blessings, the blessing of wealth, al-amwal, and the blessing of children, al-awlad, it's not truly a blessing for those who are not sincere and those who do not show thanks. It's a niqmah. It's a niqmah, and the wabal, it's a retribution and evil consequences. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَتَزْهَقَ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. Allah, He only wants to punish them in this worldly life by way of their wealth and their children, and that they will die while they are disbelievers. That they will die while they were disbelievers. And he said, this is the outcome. This is what Allah, He wants from this. Allah, He provides for these hypocrites in this manner and these people of disbelief in this manner from this worldly life as a means for them to be led astray and for them to be overcome by this life, and so that when death comes to them, they disbelieve. They're in a state of disbelief. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَتَزْهَقَ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. So this is a means for their disgrace and their failure, not a means for honor and respect and dignity, not a true blessing. Rather, this is the worst of all. This is the worst of all calamities, that a person who will be overwhelmed by this life until his soul is taken in a state of disbelief. In a state of disbelief. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So we should not be like this. We should not be like this. So sometimes this worldly life can distract a person. Can distract a person. And instead of being a blessing for a person, it will be a means of punishment. It will be a means of punishment. Maybe he will have wealth. Maybe he'll have children. Maybe he'll have status. Maybe he'll have rank. Maybe he'll have position. But he will not find happiness from that. He will not find happiness from that. Somebody who loves something in the manner he should love his Lord, then that thing will be a means of punishment for him. Then that thing will be a means of punishment for him. Someone who loves his child the way that he should love Allah, then Allah will punish him with that child. That child will be a means of punishment for him and retribution. Someone who loves their wife, or a woman who loves their husband, or someone who loves wealth or fame or status or rank in the manner that he should love his Lord, whenever this love is challenged, the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, this thing will be turned into a punishment for that person. Will be turned into a punishment for that person. It means of heartache and pain and worry and stress. And in this life before the hereafter. In this life before the hereafter. Before the hereafter. And the hadith we all know in Sahih Muslim from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, إن الله لا ينظر إلى صوركم وأعمالكم, that Allah, He doesn't look into your shapes, into your wealth, ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم, but He looks to your hearts and to your deeds and to your actions. So the one who empties his heart from this worldly life and he seeks the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then Allah will aid him. and Allah would accept from him, and Allah would facilitate for him, and Allah would raise him and honor him. But the one who fills his heart with the love of this life and empties it from the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then this life that he loves will be a means of distraction for him and a means of punishment and evil consequences. As-Sa'di, he mentioned in the tafsir about this verse, rahimahullah, he says in the statement, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, that Allah, he only intends to punish them by way of this in their worldly life, meaning by way of their wealth and their children. He says, وَالْمَرَادُ بِالْعَذَابِ هُنَا مَا يَنَالُهُمْ مِنَ الْمَشَقَّةِ فِي تَحْصِيرِهَا وَالسَّعِي الشَّدِيدِ فِي ذَلِكَ وَهَمَّ الْقَلْبِ فِيهَا وَالتَّعَبِ الْبَدَنِ. What is intended from the punishment here, and that Allah is going to punish them by way of their wealth and their children in this worldly life, is that which they will find, that which they will find from hardship and difficulty and trials and pains from trying to obtain this worldly life, and the strong and the severe hastening or the severe effort that they make, and the worry that affects their heart, and likewise how their bodies become tired out. Yani meaning that they'll literally wear themselves out chasing after the worldly life. They'll physically wear themselves out and physically wear their heart likewise. Yani their heart will come yani to ends in worry and grief and stress and problems over a dollar. Sometimes a person, he will get money, and then that money will punish him. And he will worry about it, and he will think about it, how he can double it, and how he can triple it, and then he will check on it, and then maybe somebody will steal it, or maybe it will go up, and then it will go down. It will be his concern. Like, he will be concerned about it. When he wakes up, he checks his bank account. Before he goes to bed, he's checking his bank account. And all throughout his day, he's checking his bank account. It's still the same thing. It's still there. Or if he has money, and it's stashed away in a place in his house, he'll go there and look at it and count it. And then later on, he'll come back, and he'll go there and count it again. And then later on, it's still there in the same place. But all he can do is think about it. It becomes a worry for him. So instead of being a blessing, it's worrying him. It's bothering him. He's worried that somebody is going to take it, or it's going to go away, or the likes like this. And then many times a person, he will save and be stingy and greedy in this manner, and then calamities will happen to him he didn't expect. And either something will happen to the car, it'll break down. He's saving money, he wants to have this cash. And then he'll be afflicted, the car will break down, and then the tire will pop, and then this will happen, and then the kid will get sick, and then the wife needs glasses, and then, until he does not have any money left. And the blessing is all gone from his wealth. And it's all spent up. And he doesn't even realize that it's a favor and blessing that he had the money in the first place to take care of these needs. Now he's in shambles. And now he's plotting and planning how to make that money back. So this is a means of punishment for them. وَلِيَذَبِ اللَّهِ. But the person who just lives and he gets money legally and lawfully, and he uses that money in the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, if it comes to him in abundance, it's easy for him. Alhamdulillah. And he'll thank Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he will strive to use it in the avenues of goodness. And if it doesn't come, alhamdulillah, he'll suffice with what he has. He will suffice with one car or two vehicles, or he will suffice with what is available. If he doesn't have the money to take his family out, he'll just take them, he will feed them at the house and the likes like this. Whatever comes to him, he accepts it and is good. And he works, and we all must work. But working for the hereafter, not for this life. So even a person is encouraged, whether it's an obligation for a man to have a job and to get money and to work in the worldly life, to have money to spend on himself and on his family and the likes like this. But even when he's working for the worldly life, he's not working for the worldly life. And he's working for the hereafter. He's doing this in order to take care of himself, because this is an obligation that is upon him, to take care of his family, because this is an obligation that is upon him to spend from that which is good, to seek the livelihood of فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. Allah, he says, go about through the earth and eat from his provision, but to him you'll return. So a person, he'll go out through the earth. فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. After that, after the you come to the Jumu'ah, to the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then after that you go through the land. Then you go through the land and you seek your provision and you get your money, alhamdulillah, in the limits of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And all in order to be strong, in order to be healthy, in order to be upon goodness. So even whenever a person, he's going to get money in this life, he has the aim to reach the pleasure of Allah. This is the point. As for the one who's backwards in this life has overcome him, even if he didn't have money, he's still going to be in the same situation. He's still going to be poor. He's still going to be impoverished. He's still going to be in disarray. He's still not going to be satisfied or happy, regardless of his situation. Regardless of his situation. Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَمِنْ أَبْلَغِ الْعَذَابِ فِي الدُّنْيَا تَشْتِيتُ الشَّمْرِ وَتَفَرُّقُ الْقَلْبِ وَكَوْنُ الْفَقْرِ نُصْبَ عَيْنَيْ الْعَبْدِ لَا يُفَارِقُهُ. That from the most intense punishment in this life, from the most intensified, yani the most severe punishment in this life, is that a person, his affairs in his life will be in disarray, in disorder. That his life will be in disorder, and that he will see poverty in front of him, between his eyes, and meaning he will not be content. He will not be satisfied with the decree of Allah. He will not be content with the command of Allah. He will not suffice ever with what he has, what has been decreed for him. What has been decreed for him. He will always want more and strive to have more and work hard to have more. And the likes like this. And he will never be satisfied. This is from the worst of all punishments in this life. And he says likewise, and the fact that the heart will be divided, meaning that his intentions are here and there. He has all these different, and his aim is not focused on seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Rather, his heart is also in disarray, and is not gathered upon one issue. Rather, he's lost in the different desires and whims of this life, and poverty is in between his eyes, and it never leaves him. Meaning, he's never satisfied. He's never content. He's never content. He said, وَلَوْلَا سَكْرَةُ عُشَّاقِ الدُّنْيَا بِحُبِّهَا لَاسْتَغَاثُ مِنْ هَذَا الْعَذَابِ. Had it not been for the drunken love of those who are the عُشَّاقِ الدُّنْيَا, those the lovers of the worldly life, those who have fallen head over heels in love with the worldly life. Had it not been for their drunken state of love, and they've fallen in love till they're drunk with the love of this life, is what he's saying. And had they woken up, had they sobered up from their drunkenness, then they would have sought relief from this punishment. And meaning that even those people that are engulfed in this worldly life, that they don't realize it because they're intoxicated with the love of this life. Had they sobered up, they will realize and they will seek relief. Help me. I'm lost. Help me. I'm in pain. I'm in agony. I'm in worry. I'm in stress. And he relieve me. Save me from this great calamity that I'm tried with. But they don't realize that they're drunk. They're drunk and overcome with the love of this life. With the love of this life. So therefore they don't seek relief. Had they sought relief, he says, وَعَلَىٰ أَنَّ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَزَالُ يَشْكُوا وَيَسْرَخُوا مِنْهُ. And even the majority of them, they still complain and are screaming from this affair. And even the state of drunkenness does not completely overcome them, and they're still in agony from the pains that they experience from not getting what they want from that which they love. Meaning the worldly life. Meaning the worldly life. Ibn Qayyim likewise, he mentioned, rahimahullah, وَمُحِبُّ الدُّنْيَا لَا يَنْفَقُّ مِنْ ثَلَاثَ. The person who is truly in love with this worldly life, there are three issues, and he will never be free from three affairs. Number one, هَمٌ لَازِم, constant worry. The one who truly loves this life, it's allowed to love this life. But the one who shows, what he's talking about here is the one who shows preference to this life. He loves this life, and that love has transgressed over the love of Allah. Until he does not care about that anymore, he loves this life and prefers this life over everything else. He works for this life. This is what is intended. The one who loves this, it's allowed for a man to love his wife, for a woman to love her husband, for their parents to love their children, for the children to love their parents. It's allowed to love a dollar. This is not haram in itself. But what's haram is whenever the love of a dollar overcomes the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, and a person, he disobeys his Lord for a dollar. He disobeys his Lord for a dollar. He will fall short in performing obligations in order to get a dollar. Or he will violate the prohibitions in order to get a dollar. Now there is a problem. And this is the challenge in life. And this is a challenge in life. And this is from the test of our existence. وَمَا خَلَقُتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. From the aspect of that was that we're tried with money, and we're tested with this worldly life. We're tested with this worldly life, and we're tested likewise with takalif, with awamir wa nawahi, the commandments and the prohibitions, and the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, to see whose love is pure, and to see whose love is true, and who will believe in Allah in the unseen. And who will believe in Allah and the unseen and show preference to Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why the reward in the hereafter is to see what you cannot see. to see Allah Azza wa Jal. To see Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, those people who disbelieve as well, as a punishment, whenever they die, they see. What do they see? They see the angels spiting their faces in their backs. Spiting their faces in their backs. And it will be said to them, is this magic now? Is this magic now? And whenever the punishment comes to them in the hereafter, and they claim that it's magic in this life, is this magic now? And can you not see now? Is this not true? And so they will be disgraced in this manner. The point is that this is the test. This is the trial, the love. The love. The love of Allah Azza wa Jal, or the love of the soul and the desires. The love of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the love of the soul and the desires. So this is what we're tried with. This is what we're tried with, and this is what we have to strive to overcome. So the one who has this love that for this worldly life that has overcome him, these three affairs will never leave him. Hammun lazim. Hamm lazim. He's always worried. Always concerned. Always concerned about how he's going to get more of his beloved, or that maybe something that he loves that he already has is going to go away and be lost. Going to go away or be lost. For example, someone who loves the dollar, then he's always going to be worried about the dollar that he has, and always going to be worried about how to get another dollar on top of that one, and the likes like this. And then if that dollar goes away, man, he's finished. He's finished. He will lose his mind. Some of them, what do? They commit suicide. He's a millionaire. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. He can't live anymore because he lost his beloved. And the second one, وَتَعَبٌ دَائِمْ, and complete and constant. Yani, constant tiredness. Yani, meaning he's always going to be tired. He's going to wear himself out entirely chasing after that which he loves. Either chasing after it or trying to defend it. And just the fact that he worries about it all the time, this will worry. This will tear a person apart. Sometimes we say in English, yani, here in America, that he's worrying to death. This issue will worry him to death. You ever heard that before? And sometimes they say this in the American language, yani, that, you know, his mother's worrying to death. And I mean, she's worried. She's so worried. She can't stop worrying about her son, yani, and his problems and everything. And it's like almost the people are like she's about to die. And yani, because of the pain and the agony and the trouble she's going through thinking about her son, for example. So this is how these people are. This is how these people are. You just have to submit to Allah Azza wa Jal, and then take the means to guide your son, or to help your son, or to direct your son, or to advise your son, and know that the command is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal, and whatever happens is good. Whatever happens is good. So all that will go away with tawheed. All that ham, and all that qalaq, and all that al-hara', and all of this jaza', this all goes away with tawheed. It goes away with tawheed. That's the only way it goes away. It will never go away except with tawheed. Except and taj'al al-akhirah hammak. Except by making the hereafter your main concern. Then all that problems goes away. Even the problems of life, they're still coming, but in your heart, they go away. They go away. This is the favor from Allah Azza wa Jal. So the third affair is, وَحَسْرَةٌ لَا تَنْقَضِي. He said, وَحَسْرَةٌ لَا تَنْقَضِي. And grief that never ends. Grief that never ends. So he's always going to be worrying. He's always going to be tired out. And he's going to be tired out and always going to be grieving. He says, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ مُحِبَّهَا لَا يَنَالُ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا إِلَّا طَمَحَتْ نَفْسُهُ إِلَى مَا فَوْقَهُ. And this is because a person who truly loves this life in this manner, he will never obtain anything from this life except he wants to have more. Except he wants to have more. If he gets some of it, he wants more now. He gets one car, now I got to have two. He got some red shoes, now I got to have blue. He got a black coat, now he has to have a white one. Same one, same exact one. Same exact one, he wants another one, another one, another one, another one, another. He's never happy, he's never satisfied. He's never content like this. So he's always going to be worrying in this manner. He says, كَمَا فِي الْحَدِيثِ الصَّحِيحِ, which is just as is in the authentic narration, yani, which is in Bukhari Muslim. He says, لَوْ كَانَ لِبْنِ آدَمْ وَدِيَانِ مِنْ مَالْ لَبْتَغَى لَهُمَ ثَالِثَةً. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if the son of Adam, he had two valleys of wealth, then he would hope to have a third. And if he had literally two valleys of wealth, imagine two valleys, great valleys, of both of them are full up, all the wealth, the gold and silver and cars and what they call them, gyms, huh? Gyms, you know, gyms, GMC, the plural is jamus, huh? He has jamus. Jamus, any GMCs, many GM, big cars, any big cars, big trucks. Alhamdulillah, it's allowed to have this. But imagine if he had valleys of these things. Valleys of these things. He will want another valley. Not another jimps, another valley. Yani, this is the way of the son of Adam. Yani, the one who's overcome in this manner. So these things may come to us, but then a person who will fight his desires and his whims with tawheed and with knowledge, with light, and then he will leave that a'udhu billah and he will seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and then maybe Allah will give him four or five valleys of GMC and everything else, and that's easy for Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's easy for Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if he was sincere, then that will be honor for him. And he will use all of that in the pleasure of Allah. He will line them up and those students of knowledge will be driving here and driving there and drive them here and drive them there to the gate like this. He will use all of that in the pleasure of Allah. He will, the poor people, he will fill it up with rice and go deliver to the neighborhoods and the likes like this in the back of his GMC. Alhamdulillah, that's all good. That's all good. But it goes back to this intention. It goes back, barakallahu fikum, to this intention. He mentioned a narration from Isa alayhi salam, which no doubt is munqati', yani it's a weak ascription, but it's in the affairs of the hereafter. And the example that is mentioned, or the parable, is good. And he mentioned a parable that is ascribed to Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, that he said the example of the one loving this life, yani mathalu muhibb ad-dunya ka sharib al-bahr kull ma zada minhu shurban zada minhu atsha hatta yaqtulahu. The example of the one who loves this life in this manner, he's like the person who's drinking from the sea. And the one who's drinking from the sea, that's the salty water, that's the salt water, right? So the more he drinks, the more he's thirsty. The more he drinks, the stronger the thirst becomes. He'll drink a drink and become more thirsty. He'll take another drink and become more thirsty. He'll take another drink and become more thirsty until he dies from it. You understand? That's the example of the person here. He's not ever satisfied. He'll take another drink of the dunya, and it will make him thirstier. And he'll take another drink of the dunya, another dip, another, until he's finished. Until he's finished. So again, we should not misunderstand that a person, because you know, alhamdulillah, we talk about these affairs and we blame the dunya. And the dunya is blameworthy. And the people of the dunya is blameworthy. But not everyone who has dunya is blameworthy. Rather, some people, they have dunya in their hand, it's not in their heart. And it's a benefit for them and for the believers. It's a benefit for them and for the believers. And the people of the knowledge, they mentioned, the one who has his main concern, the hereafter, like the hadith mentions, that Allah will open up the dunya for him and it will come to him. It will come to him, alhamdulillah. So he will use that in the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. He will use that to establish his obligation. He will use that to establish his religion. He will use that to establish his deen. He will use that to establish the shahad in his life and for his family. The money that he has, the wealth that he has, the position that he has, the status that he has, the dunya that he has, it's in his hands. He'll use it for the pleasure of Allah. He'll use it in the path of Allah. He'll use it in the cause of Allah. He'll use it in that which is lawful for him. He will enjoy himself with his family, alhamdulillah, in that which is lawful. He'll make them smile. He'll make them laugh. He'll take them to shop, for example. Buy whatever you want, 2, 3, or 4 of them. This is all halal. Tfadl. This one right here is haram. Allah, he does not like this one. This one right here, you can have 2, 3 of them. Go ahead. Like this, letting them enjoy. Alhamdulillah, and teaching them that this one is lawful and pleasing to Allah. We partake in this. This one is forbidden and displeasing to Allah. We do not partake in this. But I partake in this. And then, alhamdulillah, you raise them in this manner like this. So now, this money for this person is honor. Honor for him. He uses it to draw near to Allah. He uses it to draw near to Allah. So this is just aid and support upon the path that he's on, upon a good path. But even if a person, he had no money, but that money was in his heart, then it will destroy him. Then it will destroy him. There are so many benefits, yani, about this. From this is what Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned about Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala. So it goes back to the intention. It goes back to the intention and satisfaction. And true contentment and true happiness and true peace and true joy, it is in the heart only. It's in the heart. And it can only be from Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's by the greatest blessing and favor is to be guided. It's to be guided to Tawheed. And there's no way to have happiness or joy except with Tawheed. That's it. And the one word, At-Tawheed. At-Tawheed. Yani, to worship Allah alone, to know Allah Azza wa Jal by his names and his attributes, and to strive to please him. to know Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to know His right, and to surrender and to submit to Him in obedience, in a manner that's pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, following His legislation, following His deen, following His religion, following His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this manner, a person, he will find happiness. In this manner, he will find happiness, and he will find joy, he will find contentment, he will find all that is good in this life and in the hereafter. And in the hereafter, Ibn Qayyim, he says, سَمِعْتُ شَيْكَ الْإِسْلَامِ بِبْنْ تَيْمِيَّ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ إِنَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا جَنَّةٌ مَنْ لَمْ يَدْخُلْهَا لَا يَدْخُلُ جَنَّةِ الْآخِرَةِ. That indeed in this worldly life there's a Jannah. Whoever does not enter the Jannah in this worldly life, he will not enter the Jannah in the hereafter. Whoever does not enter the Jannah in this life, he will not enter the Jannah in the hereafter. He's talking about something that's in the heart. The Jannah in the heart, meaning the one, the true Tawheed, and surrender and submission to Allah Azza wa Jal. He will have that his heart will be a Jannah. His heart will be a Jannah. It will be a garden full of light and full of delight and full of joy and full of happiness and full of peace and full of contentment, full of ease. Whatever he's facing in his life with this sincere faith, this is what will happen for him. He will have Jannah in his life. He will have Jannah in his life. If his enemies try him, it will not bother him or harm him. He will face that with the Jannah in his heart. If the worldly life opens up for him, it will not overcome him. He will face that with Jannah in his heart, with sincere faith. He says, "Qala li marratan." He said to me one time, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. He said to me one time, "Ma yasna'u a'da'i bi? Ana jannati wa bustani fi sadri. Ayna ruhtu fi hiya ma'i la tufarikuni. Ana habsi khalwa wa qatli shahada wa ikhraji min baladi siyaha." He said to me one time, "What can my enemies do to me?" And we know that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he died in a prison, and the ulama of his day, they all gathered against him because of his defense of the sunnah and of the aqidah salafiyah specifically, and the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He defended that with bravery and courage and sincere faith, and the scholars and the judges of his day, they all plotted against him until he was in prison, they tried to have him executed. Rahimahullah ta'ala. So he's mentioning here, what can my enemies do to me? It says, me, my garden, my Jannah, my paradise is in my heart, it's in my chest. What can they do to me? My Jannah, Bustani, my garden is in my chest. Wherever I go, it's with me, it never leaves. Wherever I go, it's with me, it never leaves. This reminds me of some poetry of someone. علمي معي حيثما يممت ينفعني قلبي وعاء له لا بطن صندوقي إن كنت في البيت كان العلم فيه معي أو كنت في السوق كان العلم في سوقي. So الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى, he is the same way. His knowledge is with him wherever he goes. It never leaves him. His chest is in his chest. If he's in his house, his knowledge is in the house. If he's in the market, his knowledge is in the market. And this knowledge, this is the Jannah. This is the means for the Jannah. This is the provision for the Jannah. The heart is like the land, and if it's toiled properly, and then that knowledge comes to that land, it will produce great fruits. That's why the Quran is considered Rabi' al-Qalb, the Rabi', meaning the means to cultivate and bring life and joy and happiness to the heart. To the heart. So he's saying, my enemies can't do anything with me. My happiness is here. My garden is here. My paradise is here. It never leaves me. I know Allah. And I know myself. I know Allah. I know my Lord. And I know myself. I know my Lord. And I know myself. And this is the case. Any person, he can be like Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. We benefit from what Ibn al-Jawzi, he mentioned in the closing of the book we just read. He said, if you're able to surpass the best of the scholars and devout worshippers, you should do that. فَإِنَّهُمْ رِجَالُ وَأَنْتَ رَجُلٌ. And they're men, and you're a man too. So Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he's a man, and you're a man. So just like he had a garden in his chest, you can have one in yours too, barakallah fik. Allah made his paradise in his heart. No one can steal it from him. Allah will make paradise in your heart too if you're sincere like he was. And if you strive to obey Allah Azza wa Jalla like he did, and you show preference to the love of Allah over everything else in your life, then Allah, he will place a Jannah in your heart too. He'll place a Jannah and a paradise in the same contentment in your heart too. This is the favor of this. So these are our role models. We want to be like that. I want to be like him. I want to have Jannah in my heart. Nobody can take it from me. You understand? These are our role models. Barakallahu fikum. These are our role models. But you cannot be like them if you don't work like them. We can't have false hopes and procrastination, right? We have to see these examples and strive to be like that. Strive to be like that by learning and applying the knowledge that we learn. Ana jannati wa bustani fi sadri. Aina ruhtu fahiya ma'i la tufariquni. He said, my Jannah, my garden, my bustan is in my chest. Wherever I go, it's with me and never leaves me. Whenever he has doubt, he does. Whenever some challenges come in life, the first thing that you do, if somebody is trying to harm you or things are not going properly, you remember Allah Azza wa Jal. You flee to Allah Azza wa Jal. Rabbi Allah, Alladhi Rabbani, Rabba Jami'al Alamin bi ni'amihi, huwa ma'budi, laysa li ma'budun siwa. You remember this. You go back to the usul that Allah, He is my Lord. My Lord is Allah. He's the one who created me. The command is the command of Allah. He is the one who has authority. And I worship Him alone, and I don't worship anyone else. And I devote myself to Him and surrender to Him and submit to Him. And nothing can happen to me except by His permission. And whatever He decrees is good for me. And I surrender and submit to that. Huwa ma'budi, laysa li ma'budun siwa. Huwa ma'budi, laysa li ma'budun siwa. The one who knows his Lord and he knows himself, then this is how he has a Jannah will come in his heart. A Jannah will grow and flourish in his heart by the permission of Allah. He said, "Ana habsi khalwa." If they imprison me, then I have time to be alone. Wa qatli shahada. And if they kill me, then this is martyrdom. Wa ikhraji min baladi siyaha. And if they kick me out of my land, then I'm just going to go for an excursion and enjoy any of the land and go sightseeing. And go sightseeing through the lands. He used to say, rahimahullah ta'ala, all the time, وَكَانَ يَقُولُ فِي سُجُودِهِ وَهُوَ مَحْبُوسٌ اللَّهُمَّ عَنِّي عَلَى ذِكْرِكَ وَشُكْرِكَ وَحُسْنِ عِبَادَتِكَ. He said that many times he would say whenever he was in sujood, while he was in prison, oh Allah, help me to remember you and to thank you and to worship you in a good manner. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned these transmissions or these statements here. He transmitted these statements here in his book called Al-Wabil al-Sayyib. Al-Wabil al-Sayyib wa Rafi' al-Karim al-Tayyib. This is a book by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. It's one volume. It's all about adhkar. It's all about adhkar. The beginning is all about the virtue of dhikr. The virtues of dhikr, he mentioned numbers. And he more than 70 different virtues of dhikr. And then after that, he mentioned the different adhkar, the different times for adhkar, and the adhkar that have come in those different times and places, and explain them in brief detail. So he mentioned these benefits here on page 109, and after that he mentioned a number of things. He says Allah knows that I never seen anyone have a better life than Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. And I never seen anyone in having a better life than him. Along with the fact that he was in prison, and along with the fact he did not live in luxury, and he was not living in delight, and how his enemies had plotted against him, and how they had challenged him, and they spread rumors and lies about him, and they had imprisoned him, so on and so forth. All of these things, many times he's brought to the courts, he's brought in front of the judges, and even some of the other judges, they plot against him and they lied together, and trying to rile up the ruler against him to have him killed. And they claimed, even they declared him, some of them, to be a disbeliever for affirming the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, and for defending the madhhab of the Salaf. So he went through great hardship and trials. But Ibn Qayyim, he's saying that I never seen anyone have a better life than him. And I never seen anyone more happy, more content, more peaceful, yani more satisfied, more kind. And he has so many beautiful traits. He's mentioned that many times things would happen to us as students, and we would be afraid of calamities that we're facing or trials. And it would just be the fact that we would go and visit him, and we would see him, and then we would listen to his speech, and he would advise us, and all those fears would go away. And now we would be content and happy again. And he meaning that he was firm and he was strong, he himself. And then likewise, whenever others came in contact with him, he would reassure them, and he would speak to them with the Quran and speak to them with the sunnah of the Prophet, remind them and admonish them, and the likes like this, until they would have certainty again. Maybe before their doubts, or maybe they were weakened, their faith became weak, but just being in his presence and being in his company, their faith will become strong again. And this is from the benefit of being in the company of the people of knowledge and the people of faith, the people of iman. They're going to be a means, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, to strengthen the faith, to strengthen the faith. So this is an example from the many examples of the righteous and the pious, those who had made the hereafter their main concern. Those who had made the hereafter their main concern. And now we see, until today, a person, he will not say the name Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, for example, except you say Rahimahullah. Rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him and the benefit that has come and from his efforts. So this should be the goal of every believer, that he will not be deceived by this life, and that he will work for the hereafter, and he will prepare for the hereafter. And in any case, that's where we're all going, and we cannot hide, and we cannot run, and there's no way out. There's no way out. So we're either going to go with honor, or we're going to go in disgrace. So then now is the time for us to make our decision. To make our decision, and it's easy. It's easy for the one who is sincere, and repents to Allah Azza wa Jal, and he strives. Then Allah will facilitate. He rectifies his intention and rectifies his life based upon that good intention. And he cleans up his household and his family, and he works, alhamdulillah. Allah Azza wa Jal will bless him, and Allah Azza wa Jal will raise him, and Allah Azza wa Jal will choose him and select him and use him in his obedience, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah from his grace and his mercy to use us in his obedience, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, he is the most kind and merciful. He's the most kind and merciful. Insha'Allah, we will have a test on Awa'iq al-Talab, as mentioned yesterday, and it will be available Yawm al-Sabt, insha'Allah, in our class on Saturday. We'll have the test. Those who are in the masjid, they can take it at that time, or it'll be available after that likewise. On Yawm al-Sabt, the test will be available. Whoever has listened to all of the audios, either live or the recordings or both, whatever they can, they will be qualified to take the test. And whoever attends and then passes, inshallah, they will have a certificate for participation, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And tomorrow and the next day we review from the Dora. So it's hope that all of you will bring benefits yourself. So we'll listen to the benefits that you have from the previous classes. So tomorrow and the next day, review your notes, maybe take down some more notes or collect some benefits that you found to affect you and that you found to be very good, and mention them, inshallah, tomorrow, and we discuss them for the next couple of days in preparation. And then after that, we go back to our schedule, inshallah. If there's any questions or comments or corrections, we can take them now while we're waiting for the iqamah.
Ahsanta. Khufay Hunayn. We had to talk about Khufay Hunayn. We know what Khuf is, right? The khuf is the shoe, the leather sock. So the two of them is called the khufan. Khufan or khufain. So there's a man, his name is Hunayn. I don't know if we have time now, huh? Hunayn was he was a shoemaker, and he made the khifaf. He made the khifaf, and he made them very nice, and he's well known for that. And he was very also well respected in his trade. And there was an individual, he was a desert Arab, he had left his home and left his town to take care of some business, to go on a journey traveling to do a business and to purchase items for trade and for sale and to purchase gifts for his family and so on and so forth. So this man, he left his home and he out on a journey, and he with the hopes he's going to return back to his people with a lot of benefit and a lot of khayr, with gifts, profit in business and the likes like this. So on his way back home, he stopped by the shop of Hunayn. And he found the two khuf that he liked, and they were very nice, and they were very, and he very high quantity, and he started asking about the price. So then there, he told him the price. So the man, he didn't like the price. So they're disputing about the price for some time. And there's other customers maybe coming in the lights like this, and Hunayn is telling them just to wait. So he's going through this whole time with this guy about the price of this khuf that he had handmade in the lights like this, and he's known for this affair. And then in the end, the man, he said, you know, I don't even want them. Like this, I don't even want them. So then Hunayn, he had lost out on this business, and he had spent all this time dealing with this person and his bad manners. And then in the end, the man, he didn't buy anything. He left Hunayn there like this with nothing, with his shoes in his hands. So then he left off with his belongings, and he's gone on the way home. So Hunayn, he became very mad about this, and he was upset. So he took those two khuf that he wanted to buy, and he traveled, and he went ahead of him on the path a ways, and he put one of them there, and he waited on the sign. And then the man is traveling, and whenever he comes, he sees the khuf there, and he gets off his animal, and he looks. He's like, whoa, this looks just like the khuf of Hunayn. And he's looking around, but there's only one of them. He's looking around like there's only one of them. So he said, man, there's only one of them. So he left it there. So then he traveled on further. So then after some time, Hunayn, he went further up there. He put the other one. He put the other one a little way down the road. So now the man, he comes down the road a little bit further, and then he runs into another one. He's like, oh, this is the same one as the last one. So he put all of his belongings on the ground so he can hurry up and go back and get the second one real fast. So whenever he ran off to get the other one, then Hunayn came and snatched up his belongings and ran away. So what happened in the end, the man, he returned home with nothing except for two khuf of Hunayn. You understand? So in the end, the point is, whenever he turned home, they said, what did you, bima raja'ta? And he, raja'tu bi khufay Hunayn. And he, what did you come back? What did you return with? He went on this business journey. He's going to come back for his family, all this money and this wealth and gifts for his kids. And but he came back with the two khuf of Hunayn. That's it. And he empty-handed. So this is a story, a parable that you strike for somebody who goes off on a journey or sets out to achieve something major, and he's some great event, like for example, seeking knowledge. He goes overseas to Medina to study, for example, or he goes to Egypt to learn the Arabic language, for example. And then whenever he gets there, he meets some individuals that waste his time, or he becomes lazy, or hangs out in the restaurants all night long and talking and backbiting, and then he comes home with nothing. He comes home with nothing. And he comes home, maybe he has even some of them, they have a diploma, but he comes home with nothing. He no benefit, no. He didn't learn the Arabic language. He still stutters. He still can't read. And he's a loser. Raja Abi Khufay Hunayn. This is what you say about this type of person. So this is a warning. Do not do that. If you're going to advance on something in your life, you want to seek knowledge, for example, or you want to do some major affair that you hope will be beneficial, you have to do it good. You have to be sincere. You have to work hard. You have to strive. You have to take the means, or else you're going to return with the two khuf of Hunayn. You understand? So that was the story. That was the story. Khufay Hunayn. Raja'a bi Khufay Hunayn. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. So this is something to remember. You don't want to return with Khufay Hunayn, because this is failure and this is loss. This is failure and this is loss. So that's what happens if somebody, he sets out to seek knowledge, but he's not aware of these obstacles, or he doesn't strive against his soul to avoid them. Maybe he will be caught up in these obstacles or other obstacles. We've seen that there are many of them. In the first class, we numbered more than 17 of them. There's only 10 of them mentioned here. So there's many more obstacles a person has to be aware of in the path of seeking knowledge. So a person, maybe he get caught up in one of them and get lost, and he will return with Khufay Hunayn. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. This is failure. So this is the warning from that. Barakallahu fikum. Jazakallahu khairan for reminding me about that. About that. Any other questions? هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.